We don't have to stay here. We could go wherever we want.
No, we can't. This is our home.
Are you sure?
Oh, don't worry, darling. I have everything under control.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Short Box Podcast, Season 6.
Short Box Podcast was recorded before a live internet audience.
Yeah, I think we should go ahead and start.
Yo, so, cheers to you, my friend.
Cheers to you.
Yo, we back at it.
We are back
like,
at it.
Like, yo, listen, who's that face I see?
Mine? Yo, yes, me? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's me. That's me.
Hell yeah.
Yo, it's good to have you finally back, man. Like,
yeah, for real. Last time we did this was like at Walt's house.
Yeah, which wasn't really that long. It's like two episodes.
Doesn't it feel like a lifetime ago, though?
Dude, in this...
Am I too loud?
No, you're good. You're
all right,
good.
Cool.
I feel like, I've kind of lost track of time. I feel like one day equates out to like a week in pandemic time.
Hell yeah.
Like, you gotta start talking about that's pandemic time.
Pandemic time.
Yes, it's 2 p.m. PT. Yo, pandemic time.
A.m., p.m. and PT.
Yeah, it's definitely been... I can see. I can see why you'd say that. But it's definitely been a minute since you've been back in the Short Box studio with me.
Yeah, been a minute since I sit in this chair.
Well, you don't want to sit in Ashley's, so...
Very true.
Yeah, but you know, couch. I see.
I gotta switch it up.
Yeah, you switch it up.
I gotta see where Ed sits and see what it's all about.
You gotta feel his groove.
Yo, like, I'm always looking at the pictures. I'm always peeping the pictures, and I'm like, what are these motherfuckers talking about? Laughing, having a good time. I'm like, all right, cool.
Well, look, man, I'm glad that you are riding shotgun for the special episode.
Definitely glad that you ran out of people to have as your co-host and guest. I'm so lucky to be here.
I was like, all right, it's time to break in case of emergency.
Hell yeah.
Drew, come on the show. I need you.
I'm so used to being a Torres at the end of the line. So when I'm at the end of this line, I'm like, hell yeah.
This is the line I've been waiting.
Looking at Williams like, you going? They're like, nah, you got it.
Stupid. But look, man, I appreciate you coming through riding shotgun for this very special Short Box episode, a little bonus, little quick strike type episode. I wanted to get on the mic to talk about WandaVision episode 4. I feel like it was too big of an event and too big of a moment and such a like crazy episode for us to not dedicate an episode on. And
there's so many things we can talk about.
For sure. And the main reason that, you know, this wouldn't have just gone on a regular weekly episode is because this week we're taking a detour from our normal kind of, roundtable group chats. And we've got a special interview with an awesome journalist and an essayist for the New York Magazine. His name is Abraham Riesman. He's wrote a biography on Stan Lee, True Believer, The Rise and Fall of Stan Lee. Like I said, that interview will come out this week. That being said, let's jump into why, you know, we got together. And that's the new episode of WandaVision. Episode 4 dropped on Friday. Matthew Stinson sent an email on Sunday, and it arrived right after we recorded. And it really got me thinking about, like, you know, getting an episode four together, you know. So I'm going to read Matthew Stinson's email that he sent. It was titled WandaVision Dragging. He writes, Short Box, writing in to defend WandaVision, a little from y'all's last week episode. I wrote this email once already, but decided to wait until episode 4 dropped and rewrite it. So glad I did. I think episode 4 should have cleaned up a lot of the problems y'all had with the story so far. I personally have loved the show from the start and was surprised that the Short Box crew thought it was dragging. To me, WandaVision has been the fruit stripe gum of the MCU, the equivalent of a quickie before work, and hasn't felt like dragging at all, but the opposite. Seems the main problem is the 7-day wait between episodes. That's what's dragging. That's a really good point. If that's what's dragging. If this all dropped at once, I don't think anyone would call this show slow. Also, if you minus the intros, commercials, and end credits, each episode is only 20-25 minutes, so we are barely into an hour and a half of what is basically a 3-hour movie. Can't wait to hear your thoughts, Matt Attack. Yo, shout outs to Matthew Stinson for an awesome fucking email. Well written, good points. And to catch you up, I think last episode, I had asked Ashley what she thought about WandaVision, because I hadn't talked with Cesar, Ed, and Ashley about it since we recorded, you know, the episode of Walt.
I get it. You have friends outside of me and Walt.
Yo, for sure.
Yeah,
you know, I get it. Very wide network.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, a lot of them. Yeah, really good people.
Maybe you guys do even do a podcast. I don't know.
But Ashley brought up the point of she felt like it was really slow. Up to that point, it was up to episode 3. And I agreed.
Why?
I think because not much happens and you're thrown into it in the middle of some shit, you know?
But, like, are you saying that, like, I don't understand why...
And I'm speaking for the... I'm trying to speak from the perspective of, like, someone who would think it was dragging.
What's crazy to me... What's crazy to me is the fact that a casual fan, like, a casual person would watch this and try to, like, understand it. In the sense of, like, yo, that would suck. If you're, like, this is the first introduction to anything Marvel, that would definitely suck. But let's just assume that the person that's, like, excited to watch it knows everything that's going on with WandaVision.
Dude, I'm telling you, when I was prepping for our episode of Walt, and I was just kind of researching WandaVision, like, you know, the headlines and the stories about it, like, what are some of the things they've been talking about in, like, interviews? It made me realize, one, I wasn't excited for WandaVision until I had to prep for the episode, and it was coming out.
I can understand that.
I think one or two days prior is when the excitement got, like, real for me.
Yeah, I can respect that. Well, because, dude, when they announced everything... They announced a plethora of stuff, and then there was WandaVision. So it's in terms of, like, excitability,
and
there was stuff out there that we were like, no, no, no. When they were like Winter Soldier and Captain Falcon, you're like, you're looking left, right. You're like, yo, that's the one.
Because it looks like. It looks and kind of like it looks like it would feel how the other MCUs feel, like very action packed, like, you know, witty. Like it made sense. Like, you know, that was like, oh, that looks just like the other MCU stuff. WandaVision was stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah,
and I think that's why it's so good right now. You know,
can I make an observation?
Yeah,
the reason why is like Captain Falcon and Winter Soldier, we got a lot of, like, buddy cop of just, like, their comedy on screen.
Yeah, that
was really good. Yeah, it's definitely good. Wanda and Vision, not so much. Like, it was definitely out there. And we only got fragments of the relationships. At one point, we got their meeting. At another point, we got them both fighting each other.
Yep.
Civil War. And then later on, we got them, like, kind of together. But Vision gets fucked up. And he's bleeding to death, and then, like, later on, she has to, like, kill her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so not much time is, like, for that relationship to bleed and grow.
And I don't think they make the same connection with you like the other characters. And if we're just comparing them to, like, Bucky and Falcon.
Yeah.
You kind of felt like you were more – you found them more relatable. Like, they got to you because they were funny. Wanda and Vision, to me, at least for me – they were just not, you know, I could care less. I was they're kind
of
dry.
But the only reason why we had any type of respect on it is because we knew as Marvel fans that, you know, these two are together.
For sure.
The one, let's just talk about relationships. And we'll get back to WandaVision, but I don't get to hang out here. Another relationship we can talk about that I was invested in the MCU. Hulk and Black Widow.
Me too.
That was definitely a relationship that when they were, like, going back and forth, like, I was definitely invested, and I was like, yo, this is actually pretty good. And then at the same point, they ended their relationship. They killed my girl, and then Bruce Banner never got to say goodbye. Mm. Like, he definitely was one of the ones that felt it.
Is this coming from a personal place? This sounds like...
No, it's definitely, like, it's coming from a rewatch, and I was just like... Like, I rewatched a lot of these MCU movies after watching WandaVision, and I'm like, man.
How do they hold up?
They all hold up really, really well. And a lot of movies that we kind of gave shit on, knowing what we know now on how they do stuff, these movies are great.
Let's get serious for a minute, and I want to talk about Scarlet Witch Episode 4, titled We Interrupt This Program. Just some credits for anyone that cares. It's directed by Matt Shakman, written by Bobak S. Farjani and Megan McDonald. We get some, like, new cameos, too. Like, some new cameo stars in this. We got Tiona Paris playing Monica Rambeau. Randall Park shows up as Jimmy Woo. Kat Dennings, who plays Dr. Darcy Lewis. And, of course, Catherine Hahn. She's credited as, like, a cameo, too, Agatha. So I guess anytime she shows up. But we also get to meet the S.W.O.R.D. director, Tyler Hayard, played by Josh Stamberg. And then a bunch of, like, S.W.O.R.D. agents as well. Were you excited about, like, Darcy showing up?
I was not excited. Surprised. Yeah.
Why surprised?
Because I didn't know that she was going to be in this movie. So when they saw her, I was like, here's the thing. I did one of those like memes where I'm like putting my hand on the thing. I was like, well played, Marvel. Well played. Way to like tie.
She makes sense to be here.
Oh, yeah. For sure. The way to tie a character from the movies into a TV show besides all the other movie characters. But it's definitely like, I was like, oh, okay. When I saw her, I was like, she's one of those investigative like type of things. I'm very happy for it. Looks like she's doing really well for herself. Last time I saw her, she was assistant. Now she's a doctor.
Come on, man.
Killing it.
She leveled up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, all right, maybe there's hope for me. But
So those are the cast. And then, I mean, as far as like plot point goes, like if you were to describe this in a few words, it's essentially like the
introduction to every Marvel movie.
It felt like it, but this episode basically is your answers and guidebook for what happened in episodes 1, 2, and 3. Like all your questions about like the sitcom, what timeline and what happened. What's up with I feel like the question I've heard the most is about that motherfucking bee dude. Like the beekeeper. Yeah, like,
what's going on? I'm like,
like that's the thing that's blown people's mind is like this beekeeper mystery. But
I know you have the same problem. Like you tell people about the show and they're asking you questions and you're like, listen, just watch it. I promise you, every question you ever think of,
I think I'm going to start just telling people to go read the comics because that'll get people off your back because you know they won't read it and they'll be like, all right, man, sorry, my bad.
But here's the thing, you put a curse on them. Like, read something, they're going to look
at you. It's like you put a curse on them. They're like, whoa, bro.
Whoa, I got kids. Yo, like, you want me to read and I got kids?
Yeah. So this episode kind of answers a lot of questions that people were having in the prior ones and it's told in the past. So we find that, you know, Monica and Rambo, it starts off with Monica and Rambo waking up in the hospital, like regenerating because she was a, you know, victim of the, what do they call it? The blipping?
The blip.
The blip. That's kind of weird. I like the snap better.
Not many people were there to listen to the snap.
True. They just it's blip. An inside thing?
Like, yo, damn, it's an inside thing. Joke.
Only
it's
10 people know about the snap.
Iron Man and Captain America. They're just like, yo.
The rest of y'all call it the blip.
Everybody calls it the blip. Like, yo, y'all call it blip? Like, nah, we call it snap, bro. Why y'all call it snap? Because we were there to hear it. There's no blip, bro. Like, what are you fucking talking about? Thanos goes, snap, and then everybody dies.
Yeah, not blip.
He didn't say blip.
But, I mean, we learn like, more about Monica Rambeau's past, like her association with S.W.O.R.D., how S.W.O.R.D. got involved with this. And, like I said, it kind of explains why we were watching a sitcom for those first three episodes. So do you think that this was the episode to give it that momentum that it needed to, quote-unquote, like, not be dragging?
For fuck sure, yeah. Because they do a really good job of catching you up of everything that's going on.
Yo, this is Botter. Sorry for interrupting this episode, but I'll keep it brief. I wanted to let you know about a massive sale we have going on over at the Short Box Store on all of our merchandise and apparel. That's theshortboxstore.bigcartel.com. You can now save 20% off your entire order using the discount code YO, Y-O-O. So if you've been waiting for the right time to finally buy that gauntlet snapback, or if you ever wanted to buy any of the shirts you see me wear on the podcast, well, now's your chance to get them for a steal. We still have a few sizes left of everything, but they won't last long. And once they're gone, they are gone. And did I mention that all of our apparel is screen printed on high quality material? None of that heat transfer or direct to garment stuff. Our shirts are some of the most comfortable ones you'll ever wear, and the hats look even better in person. So wear your support for the Short Box Nation proudly, knowing that you're going to look damn good doing it. Get to theshortboxstore.bigcartel.com as soon as you can, and don't forget to use that discount code YO, Y-O-O, to save 20% off your entire order. All of this information can be found in this episode's show notes if you want to get there faster. Thanks for not pressing fast forward. Now back to the show. Yeah, and how crazy was that opening scene? Like, when Monica is, like, kind of regenerating or coming back together and she's waking up in the hospital and it's chaos.
I gotta call my wife. I was like, good for him.
Yeah. I think, but like, that was a cool perspective because I felt like they captured like that sense of like, what the fuck is going on really well. Because I think they, the first time that we kind of see like the return or like the blip kind of, you know, unhappening was in Far From Home, where all those kids, it was like showing like different scenes where like people were coming back
too.
Yeah,
you got it in like a, just like a
kind of
quick
a comedy,
little,
yeah, like Kid Strike, like, hey, here's like, what it would look like if kids came back.
They didn't give us the drama. They gave us the fun.
Yo, for sure, the fun stuff. But man, this one was just, even though that was a fun experience, kind of like laughing at it, but this was cool that it did the opposite, where it's like, oh man, what is going on? It's really intense in here. And then like to find out like Monica Rambeau's mom passed away, what she said, 3 years ago, so 2 years after you left or something like that.
Yeah, after they both
essentially like 1 year.
Yeah.
It was like a 1 year apart or something like that. But it's like, damn, off the rip. You feel bad for her. Like, not only did you come back and your world is like upside down, but you lost your mom too. And then she goes back to work to realize, oh, damn, they took my parking spot.
For real.
Come on,
it's
man.
It's just like, yo, hey, guess what? You're grounded. So now you're like, even in death, your mom's still telling you what to do.
They did such a good job making me kind of like, feel like empathetic for her, you know, to like kind of resonate and connect with her. That was like a good moment of, like just kind of easily giving you her backstory. And making you feel like, man, I'm kind of attached. Like, shit. Okay. I kind of like her. Because prior to this, I didn't really care. I was like, yo, you're from the Captain Marvel movie? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about you.
Yeah, that movie wasn't all that good. So I don't feel like you're going to bleed over into this Marvel universe and impress me.
But yeah, this was kind of like, for me, I think refreshing in the sense that you got a lot of answers. And as someone that was like, you know, that I'm kind of aware of like where they're pulling this comic book stuff from. It was also reassuring. I think reassuring is the proper word I'm thinking of. It was reassuring because, like, oh man, okay, I wasn't going, like, I wasn't off in my theory that, yo, Wanda kind of took over the city. Like, what we're watching is her reality. It's not, you know, not meant to be taken literal, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, yo, now this was like a really reassuring episode. And to your point, it felt like, okay, yeah, this is a property of the MCU. You know, it's got a certain feel to it and like momentum and like certain notes to hit.
Yeah, any origin Marvel movie that's come out, it always starts with like Agent Coulson, and like Agent Wu to me is now the new Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
So he's going to be showing up like here and there, like kind of like making his like good jokes, and then like, all right, this is what's happening. Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Jimmy Woo, like, yo, Agent Jimmy Woo is so cool. Yeah, that I think that sword director was like, man, they must miss you in Quantico. And he was like, no, sir, softball season is over. Like, yeah, he just said it so dry and whatnot. But the way he delivered it, I was like, yo, that, like, I like him. He's got, like, really good one-liners.
Definitely, yeah. You're like, yo, I like this guy. You want to, like, yo, if he came and questioned you, you're like, I want to help this guy.
Yeah, it's like, I'll snitch. All right. He's so friendly.
Yeah, and they're like, yo, director, like, you, Woo, how do you get it? I don't know, director.
That's a good impersonation.
Yeah.
So I think we can both agree the Vision reveal at the end was a big moment. Like, that was like a big, like, oh! Like, that's a double... Dude, and they paused on it, too. It's like, look at it.
They're like, yo, look! You're like, what the... No! Yo, crazy.
It felt like I was disrespecting, you know, so I was desecrating, I was like desecrating a grave or something. You know, that felt so nasty.
See a dead body.
He looked dusty. Yo. Like, yo, if you blew too hard, like, pieces of him would, like, fall off.
I was like, here's the thing. I remember, like, watching Infinity War, going, seeing his dead body and going, all right, well,
this is too much. I was almost like, yo, Marvel's wildin'.
All right, well, like, rest in peace, my friend. And then, like, Marvel's like, remember this? And I was like, no, please. And they're like, nah, he's dead. You're like, fuck, this is crazy.
So I mean, I think we can agree then that was probably the biggest reveal of this episode. And they saved it at the end, and which made it even, you know, more like more of a punch. Besides that, what do you think were like two? Give me like two other big moments or takeaways from this episode.
Takeaways?
Yeah,
is when they established Monica Rambeau, where like she was definitely not a survivor of the blip,
mm-hmm. And to see it from like a victim's perspective, like a victim of the blip's perspective. Was like really cool. Like I said, once again, that opening scene was so dope.
Definitely. The second scene, to me, in my personal opinion, is when Monica Rambeau finally gets to the town and they're talking to the two cops. And he's like, where are you from? Eastview. And he's like, well, he's like, I told your G-man over here, there's no such thing as Westview.
And they're standing in front of a sign that says Westview.
Westview. And they're like, yo, this doesn't exist. And she's like, okay. And then she sends the helicopter in there. And then everything happens according to plan. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, there were some
No, no,
there was a lot of really good reveals. Everything that show was just solidly made. So as the reveal was going on, the last three episodes made more sense because you were getting a little bit more and more and more.
Yeah, it's almost like knowing this, watching this episode, I'm almost enticed to go watch episodes 1, 2, and 3 again just to catch like smaller details or like other clues, because I feel like there's probably other clues that would have informed you outside of like what I feel like were the typical ones. One of my favorite moments from this episode was when I think his name was Agent Franklin. When Agent Franklin, the beekeeper dude, when he ends up coming out from the into the world that, or the town, and he's in a beekeeper suit.
Yeah,
and they show his kind of like perspective of Wanda and Vision in that moment, you know, because in episode one or two, with Wanda coming out in the streets, finding the beekeeper guy come out, we saw it from their perspective. So it was kind of cool to like see it from his perspective of what happened. And it's still so, the way she delivered that, no, it was like, yo, I felt like, yo, it just gave me like chills, like just to see it again.
You called your mom and was like, "Mom, I'm sorry that I ever disrespected you."
It was like when your mom gives you the evil eye. Exactly.
No. Oh, shit.
So that was one of my favorite parts, because
that's a scary word.
For sure. No. Yo, and here's the thing.
And
you
she delivered it pretty good.
You don't see what happens to Agent Franklin. Like, damn. She knocks, we see how Monica Rambeau gets out of the town. She gets like blasted out of the town. But you don't see what happens to Agent Franklin. So I'm wondering, that's definitely one of my like outstanding questions. Like, is where is old beekeeper
kind
boy?
You're so thinking of it, but what if they never answer it?
And I'm that annoying fan at conventions with this dumb ass specific annoying question.
Yeah, what happened to the beekeeper? Get him the fuck out of here.
He knows too much.
He knows too much.
Let me ask you your thoughts on this real quick. At the end of the episode, Monica Rambeau, you know, she just got blasted out of the town. She's laying on the grass. She looks like out of breath, but she manages to say, "It's all Wanda. It's all Wanda." Do you think that's the case, or do you think they're like purposely trying to redirect us or throw us off of Wanda being the cause, and there's other forces at play?
Nah, I think it's just Wanda.
You really think?
Oh yeah,
Wanda?
I think it's just definitely Wanda. Yeah, for sure. I think she's going to be revealed as the big villain. You're going to feel sorry for her because, like, the way they're going to portray her on this TV show is just lovable, sweet. But we know for a fact that that's not what it is.
So all right. Well, let me ask you this, because we are recording on Monday.
Yeah.
And I think the promo for episodes 5 and 6 came out. I did watch it. Did you watch it?
Hell no. Why would you do that?
Because it just looked
cool.
You
already know so much. Here's the thing. You have so much inside information right now as far as comic book wise.
Sure. Here's the thing. Right. I know where you're going with that, but here's the thing.
But nobody else does.
As much as I kind of know the Scarlet Witch and Wanda, or the Scarlet Witch and Vision story, that trailer, that promo was nothing what I thought it was going.
Oh.
Matter of fact.
Is it the Halloween one? The one where I think of?
I think so. Okay. The only thing I'm going to say is white light. And if that doesn't trigger, okay.
Nope.
And I'm not going to...
like mayonnaise reference? Yeah.
And you know what? Because I'm not going to ruin it for you, I won't even mention it for the listeners. You know, if you want to go watch the episode 5 and 6 promo, you can. If not, no worries. I'll try to not reference it. But what are your thoughts that I have been seeing a lot in regards to episode 4, where people are hinting or theorizing that maybe there is another force at play that's controlling Wanda. And a lot of people are saying like maybe either AIM or I think Hive is the name of the other organization. But only because like the beekeeper kind of look, you know, a lot of people have been asking, why did he turn into a beekeeper of all things?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Why is there all this reference to the hexagons and things like that? Which is, I think, AIM's logo. It's either AIM or the other one.
Give me that. That'd be cool. That'd be cool if you can give me that.
Okay.
If they bring AIM.
But you just said that you think AIM's, it's all Wanda, there, right?
Yeah, it's Wanda that's basically manifesting everything.
But do you think she's? I mean, do you think it's possible that she could be? Do you think it's possible that she could be controlled,
no,
or she's being controlled? Sorry.
No, I think for a fact. No, I think for a fact that it's all her. Because then at some point that creates more of her like being on the run.
Yeah, I would be very surprised. Actually, I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I want to say I'd be very surprised if Wanda comes out of this kind of being viewed in a different light, like a less positive light, you know, and that's part of her character arc. Because I mean, that would mirror like the comic book, right? Like after she does House of M, and that was what, 2005, 2006. Even up to this point now in the comic book, she's still like dealing with that. Like people still bring it up. The X-Men still don't really trust her or whatnot. So I wonder if they will try to mimic that characterization in the show, where at by the end of this, she's done something, and maybe your point's right, where maybe she, it's all her, the blame is all on her, and going forward, she's got to kind of redeem herself, you know, or she's not looked at in the same vein. Because I was thinking, like, man, what is Monica and Wanda's relationship going to be like after this? Because, I mean, you just blew me out of, you know, like, yo, you just blasted me out of this town, you know? Like, you could have easily killed me. I wonder what their relationship going forward is going to be like. I wonder if she even, I wonder if in some way this is, they use this as, like, the origin of her powers. Like, for some reason, Wanda's power, being hit by Wanda's powers, I don't know, awakened something or gave her powers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a complete reach, definitely. I know I sound crazy saying it, but,
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. We still don't understand how Wanda's powers are working. So hopefully that'll be something that they'll answer and we'll get some definite clarification on. Oh, yeah.
How about we discuss like some things that this episode did answer? Like when you think about episode 4, what are some plot points and questions that they did answer in this episode that you might have had watching the first three?
Who is behind the radio?
Okay, which we found out was Jimmy Woo.
Jimmy Woo. And how is everybody perceiving it on the other side?
Mm.
Because there's a reality inside the bubble, and then there's outside the bubble.
Yeah.
So I love the fact where the guy's basically like, yo, is this in real time? Is this happening right now? Is this, mm-hmm. Has this already happened and we're watching it? Like, what is going on? I'm like, and the girl, and the, I love the fact the girl's like, yo, you guys don't know shit as much as I know shit. So it's cool as a watcher.
Mm.
Or like, you know, the listener or whatever, to see that like the
yeah. Like people. Jimmy, like Agent Wu and Darcy are kind of like metaphors for the audience.
Because
they're asking a lot of questions that I think everyone's been asking.
It's the same thing.
Like, you know, so that was kind of like a cool, that episode was cool on a lot of levels, man. Just like storytelling and like plot revealing and like that kind of justification. But also like, you know, some of the metaphors and things that they were playing with.
Yeah. The first three episodes you were kind of like laying down. The fourth episode made you sit up.
Yes.
Like
absolutely.
Up right now
absolutely.
Like, oh, okay.
This is not one that you can just like.
Yeah, you lay down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like you're not texting.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, baby, listen, babe, yeah. I can't talk to you right now. Some shit just happened.
Agent Wu, all this, ends up writing questions on that, you know, whiteboard,
why
and a lot of them,
yeah,
why the hexes? Why is this real? Why sitcom? Same timeline. And I was like, yo. That's a lot of questions you'll find on YouTube that people are, and Google, people are like searching or whatnot. So, and one other thing I'll add too is we finally got, you know, the identity of the beekeeper. We found out how Monica got involved with it. And we find out why the neighbors were so like kind of sketchy or quiet about her, you know, when they were like, she doesn't belong here. Like, no, we found out,
like,
okay.
What do you mean?
Exactly. What type of neighborhood is this?
Yeah. What do you mean she doesn't belong here?
Yeah. Oh, and then we found out about the drone. They answered, like, that helicopter that she finds was the drone. It's like, huh. This was a very, I will say at times it felt very, exactly. It was like, sometimes it felt too convenient. Where it was like, huh, they got answers for everything. Okay. It's almost like, you know, when you were like, when you had all the answers to like, you know, like your mom, and she's like, all right, Mrs. Smartass. Yeah. You know? It was like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Like this episode sometimes was like so convenient. You're like, God damn. Like, yeah, all right. I'm not stupid. Like, you don't got to like tell me all this. Do you know like a lot? Do you know a lot of people watching it? Because I will personally say.
Now I do because I won't shut up about it.
Oh, okay. I will personally say this is, I thought more people would be talking about it, but it really, in my circle, is just like my nerdy friends. Like,
okay.
My non like nerd friends or my family are not watching it either, and I'm like, this is an MCU.
Your dad watching it?
No, I don't think so.
OG mom and pop is not. Sorry, that didn't even make any sense.
No, I was like, wait, OG mom and pop.
Yo, OG
mm-hmm.
Marvel
OG
is not watching.
No, but I think it's primarily because I haven't given them my Disney Plus password, and
okay.
And I feel like I'm on record right now saying I'm not a good son.
No, no, it's okay. Sometimes you got to keep the password close to you, and you got to, like, basically, like, all right, like,
yeah, they gotta
give it to every family member.
Yeah, he didn't finish trial number 8 of 12, you know? Like, yeah, you got to finish 12 trials, Hercules. All right, well, here's my last question for you, and then we can wrap up, all right, man? Because I wanted this to be, like, just a quick convo. But
yeah, 45 it's been like minutes later.
It's been a fun, what? I feel like WandaVision, that, dude, that's the type of show WandaVision is. It's a show that you talk about.
It's going to generate a lot
of... so much weird shit is happening.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, it's definitely going to generate a conversation between people.
For sure. For sure. I feel like there's enough nuances and, you know, just like weird stuff to like talk about, you know. And because this is almost kind of like Marvel's version of like, it feels like their attempt at a thriller uh-huh. type of show. Those shows are always something that, you know, I found like people would just talk about because there's so much plot holes and mysteries and, you know. Do you still have any like questions? And do you have like any best guesses for the next episode of the rest of the season?
Most definitely. The question's like, yo, what's going to happen with these kids? And the best guesses is these kids question. Are going to be, yo, what's going to happen question. To these two kids? Like, yeah, yo, yeah. Billy and Tommy, me and you are like, because of the fact that we've been reading Marvel for a bit and we know where they can go. Yo, they have potential to go so much.
Oh,
so
man.
So much.
That's right. This show can open up, which, I mean, yo, it already is. It's like, yo, this leads into Doctor Strange, and then this is going to have impacts into Spider-Man 3, which might explain why it feels like every week I get I see a headline where it's like, so-and-so is going to be in Spider-Man 3. And I'm like, yo, how many people are you guys getting? Like, this show is already, like, launching a bunch of stuff. So you're right. Like, there's still so much more material for them to build from. Like, I wonder what else do we get down the line, or what impacts did this show have on other shows down the line? I wouldn't, dude. Hear me out. And maybe this is because I just read Young Avengers, so I'm still like kind of hype on that. I feel like I would not be surprised if the next phase or iteration starts tackling or really setting up sidekicks in the MCU, like a really legit. Young Avengers / what would they be called now? Like the Champions, right?
Champions, Young Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, keep in mind, we're getting that Kate Bishop Hawkeye show.
And we're getting Kamala Khan.
Yep.
So,
outside the realm of possibilities. I mean,
Spider-Man's pretty young. He could be on the team for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Who else?
There's a bunch of people.
They could definitely introduce
that's
a lot
what I'm saying.
People,
yo.
For sure. That's already three.
Yo, I think Disney and Marvel's already thought about, like, no, we've already, like, introduced all these young characters. Now we got to bring him in the forefront.
For sure.
The only thing I can hope for secretly is Nova. I want Sam Alexander. God. Bro, if I can have him as Nova, I'd be okay.
I don't feel like breaking the vibe by checking my phone right now, but I feel like they might have announced Nova, or was that one of them fan?
I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't try so to look hard. At it, but just, okay. Sometimes like being a Marvel fan doesn't mean that you have to know everything. Sometimes I want to be wild and, like, you know, sometimes I want to be a moviegoer. Mm-hmm. And I'm only saying this because it's like a lot of the Marvel stuff, like, I don't try to look
yeah.
up.
You kind
of
ruin, like, I guess you kind of like ruin the magic when you know, like
yeah.
me, like when you know, like, yo, too much details.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, I kind of like in the fact that we live in a world right now where the information is just like just basically streamlined to us. It's like, yeah, I kind of don't get to enjoy it as much as I used to when I was like just dumb not knowing or not even dumb not knowing, just unknowing.
Okay. What would you, and final and closing remarks, what would you grade this episode and anything else you want to get off your chest about this one?
No, this episode was definitely great. Like, as far as, like, yo, what they're setting up, what they did, and how they portrayed, like, how they told a story, phenomenal. Like, it was really good. I had fun with this episode. Agent Wu was great. Like, I found myself paying attention to a lot of different stuff. Like, I was all for this. It had all the tropes of, like, a classic Marvel introduction movie.
Yeah.
So now from what, like, yo, here's the thing. Episode 4 was like, all right, you got a lot of questions? Here's all the questions.
We got a lot of answers.
Now from everything from here on out is going to be new information. Like, now,
well said. Yeah.
We don't know what's going to go on. We don't know what's going to happen.
It's like it got everyone up to speed. Like, all right, everyone knows what's going on now?
Yep.
All right, next up.
Here you go. Next episode.
Get ready for this
you
one.
You don't even know what's going to happen.
Well said, yeah.
And we're already in color. Scarlet Witch is already showing signs of, like, yo, she's turning. At first, in the beginning episode, she's just this lovable, sweet, like, just like, oh, my God. Just like, you know, the housewife. Like, hey, mm-hmm. hey, hey.
real animated.
By the end of the third episode, she's throwing bitches out of her fucking house, bro. Straight up. Like Jazzy Jazz from Bel Air, just throwing.
Oh,
like,
my
just,
God. Yo, Uncle Phil's Monica Rambeau.
Uncle Phil Monica Rambeau. The disrespect. And then that's Vision, here's the thing. Shout out to Vision being the, like, the dude that knows what's going on, but he's not going to fucking cross his woman. Because he knows for a fact
he's
what's
acting,
that going to be.
Yo, he's acting like a dumbfounded husband.
Yeah, you know, he's
shit.
Like, yo.
Because you can't tell me you didn't see her flying out the side of the house.
Hell no.
Vision was like, well. We'll talk about it when she's ready.
Yeah, sure. Yo, you know for a fact. And then he has both of the kids like, hey, babe, so what do? Let's watch TV. And you're like, and then he did that smile of like, yeah
baby. That's good. What's on the big screen?
Yeah, big screen. So
that's good. Damn, I sir, that was probably like a top five ramble you've had on this
show.
Thank
you so much.
That was exactly.
I appreciate it. You told me to bring it. I brought it.
Yeah, you did. I don't think I'm going to follow up behind that because you said a lot of things I said. I will only add that I think this was a smart play in the sense that if you thought these episodes are dragging, I think you can't say that going forward because Marvel kind of set the precedence of like, look, we don't do slow stuff. There's a reason for all of it. And I think this is what you'll think about if you should come across another show or Marvel show where you're like, oh, this is kind of slow. I feel like you might start recalling this one. Like, hey, yo, remember what they did in WandaVision episode 4? Like, I think people are going to start paying attention to stuff more. You know, I think they're going to start trying to hone in, especially with this show. I will also say that I think this show we've only seen the tip of the iceberg as far as the crazy stuff that Wanda's probably going to do. Like, I think we've only seen the tip of her power because they made it a point for them to bring up that CMBR, that cosmic microwave background radiation.
Oh.
And when they were like, yes, the director was like, yes, radiation with the Big Bang. Well, the Big Bang is how the Infinity Stones got, you know, created. So, you know, she's literally got, like, her powers are tied to, like, the Infinity Stones, like, the beginning of time, you know?
That's why her and Vision got together, because Game recognized Game. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
she got fit around with that,
like,
reality,
you know, about
shit,
the Big Bang?
And he's a associate.
Shit.
Yeah, for real. That's what I'm
saying.
The
Big Bang?
Yo.
But that's what I'm saying is, I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg.
You're aggressively waving your hand like a gun.
Yeah, boy, I am throwing hexes at you, like, ah, 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 ah. But, yeah, I'm just saying. I think we're going to see her really, like, power up. By the time with the season's done, I think we're all going to be like, okay, the show showed just how OP Wanda is.
Yo, bro, we're 4 episodes in. This is a question I've always been asking you. Does Scarlet Witch deserve happiness still?
Yes.
All right, cool. I'm just saying, she just threw a chick out of her house. Like, you're just saying now. It's okay.
Yeah, she brought up her dead brother and Ultron. I mean, in the moment.
Bro, here's the thing. You brought up my dead brother. I'm throwing you out there.
Come on. So, I mean, yo, you want me to judge you for something I do?
Justify.
I say ask me that when the season ends.
All right.
Well, look, listeners, that is the end of our little quick strike show, man. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Hopefully you guys are enjoying WandaVision as much as we are. And as always, the conversation doesn't got to end because the show ended or the episode ended. Feel free to send us your thoughts, man. Send us your best guesses, what you think about the show so far. Shoot us an email at theshortboxjacks@gmail.com. Send us something to read next episode. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Continue to make mine and yours short box. Be well. Keep it easy. Drew, stop looking at me like that. Peace.
A lot has changed since I've sat upon this chair.